I'd like to read in Romans chapter 5. In my Bible, that's page number 1353. Romans chapter 5. And then halfway through verse 6. In the due time, Christ has died for the ungodly. For scarcely for the just man will one die. Or perhaps for the good man, someone might also dare to die. But God commends his love to us, in that we, being still sinners, Christ has died for us. And then also in Romans chapter 10, that is in my Bible again, page number 1361, chapter 10, halfway through verse 12. For the same Lord of all is rich towards all that call upon him. For everyone whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's God's desire in the gospel concerning his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. There is a message about reconciliation, so there might be perfect unity between God and his creature. Are you free in the presence of God? Are you free to pray to him? Do you feel at ease in his presence? Do you know what it is to have forgiveness? Do you know what it is to have perfect peace? These are features of those who've been reconciled, who've been brought back to God. Persons who feel at ease and at peace in the presence of an almighty, righteous, holy, loving Creator God. My message to you, if you don't have that peace, is most certainly that you can have it tonight through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no need for you to carry on in a state of uncertainty or worry or anxiety about the state of your soul or sins that may weigh upon you. There's no need for that to be a burden. That can be resolved tonight, quite simply. Reconciliation is made by steps, and by contrast, in the world, sometimes countries try to reconcile themselves to each other by taking steps, positive proposals. Unfortunately, because of man's fallen nature, often what happens is the reverse, an escalation. We see it today in this world, between countries. War, threats of war, escalating threats. It's man's nature, that's due to man's nature, that is. And it comes out in us as well. It comes out as our nature, a sinful, fallen nature. But I don't want to speak about that. I want to draw your attention to the step that God has made through Christ. And he's made the most extraordinary step that you might be reconciled to God. He sent his Son into this world so that he, yes, might walk here amongst men, but ultimately he had a destiny, and that was the destiny of the cross, that he was prepared to die. It's noted here that he has died for the ungodly. What a step that was. Think of that. A righteous, holy, almighty Creator God sent his only Son into this world, who was God himself, taking those steps towards Calvary's cross, coming into this world in the form of a baby. None of these things were done at a distance. They weren't done merely by a word. God sent his Son, his most precious Son, into this world. that you might be saved. There is no further step that God can take. He has gone to the fullest extent. And by extension, Christ, who is God himself, has taken every step that you might be reconciled to God. There is no step that he has not taken. There is nothing that he has not borne. There is nothing that he has not suffered that was necessary for your salvation, that was necessary for the forgiveness of your sins. Christ has died for the ungodly. Well, does that include you? Be honest with yourself. Well, I can openly say it includes me. I can put my hands up and acknowledge that by nature I am ungodly. But God has acted from his own side that he can save me from my sin and bring me into his presence. Whilst we were out without strength, well, that surely includes us and ungodly. For scarcely for the just man will one die, but perhaps for the good man someone might also dare to die. I think this sort of really speaks to the way that man regards man. For scarcely for the just man will one die, but perhaps for the good man. But God commends his love to us, in that we, being still sinners, Christ has died for us. And I can say to you on the authority of Scripture that Christ has died for you. Died on Calvary's cross. Is that not enough for you to pay attention? Is that not enough for you to listen? Is that not enough to touch your heart, to think that a man 2,000 years ago, who was righteous, holy, the loving Son of God, was prepared to be made the object of sin? He was prepared to become sin itself. He was prepared to have the wrath of God poured out upon his head. He was prepared for nails to be hammered through his feet and through his hands. He was prepared to be spit upon. He accepted that. He was prepared to be scourged, his back scourged. Think of all the ignominy and the shame, the violence of man. He was prepared for all of that. He went through with it all. And in those 3 hours of darkness, think how dark that scene was, probably, or I'm sure, the darkest this world has ever been. Probably never will there be a darkness ever in this world that occurred in those 3 hours of darkness. God hid the suffering of the Saviour from the sight of man, because it was not right for him to see, or he was unable to see, the awfulness of what my Saviour was bearing there. It's hard for us to imagine a man suffering for our sin. A sin's just one sin enough to bar us from the presence of God for eternity. And we think of the amount of sins that we have committed day by day, month by month, year by year, piling up like a mountain. You think of the depths of suffering that the Lord went through there, far greater than the suffering at man's hand, was the suffering that he endured at the hands of a righteous and holy God, when the wrath of God that was due to me for eternity was poured out on the head of Christ. And we know that he suffered completely and entirely. He exhausted God's just judgment. He exhausted it. He said, it is finished. Whole matter of sin finished before the right, a righteous and a holy God. He exhausted it completely. And he went into death and he praised God that he has been raised out of the grave. How wonderful that is. Raised from the grave by the glory of the Father. He is not in the grave anymore. He is alive. He is alive to die no more. There'd be absolutely no purpose me preaching this gospel. There'd be no purpose in any Christian witness whatsoever if Christ was still in the grave, if he had not been raised. And Paul says he would still be in your sins. But Christ has been raised by the glory of the Father. And therefore there is real purpose behind the preaching of the gospel. Because we can have our sins forgiven. But there is a step, you know, in response to all this, in response to this extraordinary downstooping of Christ, the steps that he took, what he endured, it's hard for us to comprehend the sacrifice that he made in love for you, that you might be set free. And what does he require in response? Well, I'll just refer to this chapter 10 of Romans, where I read, for everyone whosoever who shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So that includes everyone, and it includes you. It includes you here tonight, on this day. It is your responsibility to respond in simplicity to the glad tidings, the gospel that's being preached concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you will hear the words from God, I might say, in the gospel, that you might repent, that you might turn from your sins. This is so important for the two kernels of the gospel that we discussed in the reading. Repentance towards God and faith in Christ. Those are the two precious kernels of the gospel. Repentance towards God. We have to acknowledge that we have done wrong. And that's hard. We don't like to admit, even to our friends and our family, we really don't, or our colleagues or whoever might be in the public, we don't like to admit that we're wrong. It goes against the grain, it goes against our nature. We like to feel that we're right and we'll maintain that we're right. Well, when it comes to the gospel, we have to admit that we're wrong. We're wrong before a righteous and a holy God. Not just because of the sins that we've committed, great and many they are, because of our sinful state. We have a sinful state and we need to get on our knees before a righteous and holy God and say we're sorry for those sins. And then we need to have faith, we need to look to Christ. And that is that also the message of the gospel. We look at that work that was done there at Calvary's cross. We understand the story. We hear the Holy Spirit speaking to us that that was an act of love for you, that you might be set free, that you might be reconciled to God, and you have faith. It's difficult to understand these things, the concept of Christ bearing sin in its entirety, sufficient to set you free. But that's what faith is about. It's trust that these things are true, and they can be true for you tonight, that you can be clear from sin altogether. You can walk out of that door tonight having every sin removed. You can say that with certainty. If you confess Christ as your Saviour, God will wipe away every sin you've ever committed and ever will do. And go out of that door tonight having been cleansed and reconciled. May you call out to him. That is what he is seeking. I love this verse because it makes it so simple. You know, I would say to the children here tonight, I do remember sitting in your place as a child, and thinking it seemed a little bit complicated as preachers were speaking about various aspects of the gospel and things we needed to do, that we needed to confess our sins, we needed to believe in the precious blood of Christ, which is absolutely essential and true, that we need to have faith. But I think it's all captured in this verse for me, and it gives me a certain peace and security. Everyone who calls everyone whosoever, who shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's your part. That's your step to be fully reconciled to Christ tonight. God has made those steps in Christ. This is your step tonight, here and now. Call out to him. Call out to him for forgiveness. Call out to him for peace. Call out to him for salvation. And you will walk out that door forgiven. May you do so for his name's sake.
Amen.